All right. Thank you, Lord, for another night of fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, I just ask and I pray that revival starts soon. Matter of fact, we ask that it start right here tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that your glory rain down on this group tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And that through it, Lord, that the revival would start and we'd see our family members that we've been praying for come to you, Lord. That spirit of repentance would just fall all over. And we thank you, Father, that it will be a revival like the great Hebrides revival, where people were just falling in the ground. What didn't make any difference what time of day or night, and repenting. Matter of fact, most of it was at night. And Lord, we just thank you for doing that in our families and our friends that we've been praying for and all the people that we've been praying for, Father. We thank you for this open door that you've given us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to happen soon. I thank you, Lord, for the power that's going to rain down on your bride. That when we get close to people, just a very shadow like Peter, people would get healed, delivered, and set free. Father, we're looking forward to this power to overcome all darts that's been thrown at us by the devil. We thank you, Father, that you've given us authority over all the power of the devil. In the name of Jesus right now, I bind up your works trying to come in here and cause any kind of a communication problem. In the name of Jesus, and cast you out of here. And I praise you, Father, for open communications tonight. Not nobody is going to have any problems tonight. Father, we thank you for your leading of your Holy Spirit in this meeting tonight. We praise you, Father, for the prayers that have been answered, going to be answered, and all the testimonies and praise reports, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I've been watching Tommy Welchel. Does anybody know who Tommy Welchel is? And I might tell you a little bit later. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Well, it looks like I need to tell you who Tommy Welchel is. No. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Would y'all mind keeping me in prayer? I know the Lord's healed me. By his stripes, he were healed. Would y'all be in agreement with me? I've been getting these. I want to say it the best way I can, so bear with me. If anything I do wrong, please let me know. But I know I get these thoughts that are from the devil, where I've been not feeling so good. You know, today especially, where these thoughts are like, you're going to pass out, right? So I'm trying to see it for what it is. And, you know, they've been working me a lot. And I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to be like, hey, guys, I'm going to go home because I'm not feeling good. Because then I would just give authority to it. Now, don't get me wrong. I have a few days ago kind of dipped into that and I felt convicted. And I'll say this also, another fellow come to work like 2 days ago, he ain't feeling very good. But the thing is, I know these are thoughts. I know these are the devil and he'd like me to believe this. I don't believe it. You know, and I believe tonight with you guys' prayer and us in agreement, two or three gathered, he is in the midst. And if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. So if y'all be in agreement, Michael, if you wouldn't mind praying, I believe I'll be healed right now. That's okay. How I want to take that.
This is what's going to happen, Isaac. When we pray, all of these things are going to leave you. Every one of them is going to be leaving. They've already left, as a matter of fact, because we've already told them to leave. They've gone in the name of Jesus right now. And you, those Father. Thoughts are passing out. You go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of feelings of passing out, go from him in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, any kind of spirit of infirmity is trying to come on him, leave right now in the name of Jesus. And condemnation, go from Isaac right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Name
and I praise you, Father, that he is healed, delivered, and set free from this. Yes. And I'm praying, Father, that you put supernatural energy in his body to make these days that are long in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you, Father, that Isaac is healed already in Jesus' name. It's done, Isaac.
It's done. Writing that one down too. Amen.
Amen. It is done.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. Praise God. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I've been fighting off that the feelings of sickness too the last few days, and I've been casting it off, and you know, I'm doing pretty good. I consider what I see other people, especially in my family, going through, and I haven't gone through that. Because they caught that COVID thing, but I just been casting off those things. It's not that I couldn't feel it, but I wouldn't receive it. You know, I didn't care. I just thought, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not letting you overrule my will on this. You know, but I did notice, and this is one thing I'll take prayer for. Is the enemy's attack in my mind with the lustful thoughts out of nowhere, and just
that's witchcraft.
Yeah, and images of, you know, sexual stuff. It's like, ah, wow. It's like all of a sudden you realize, what is that coming from? Mm-hmm. And then I noticed a couple times I got a little, you know, because I'm not on my game a little bit, trying to work it out. My patience isn't there with people, you know, and I actually realized it was a factious attack from somebody. Then I didn't have patience for them. I can see that, or Satan's working that, using factious people to stir me up. And I don't understand that very well, you know, so I don't tolerate it. Because I just think, you know, you're acting way beyond where you should be at. And so I don't tolerate that, but that's where my patience isn't there as a Christian. Isn't, you know, just letting it go. It's like I'll stand up and say, no, this isn't right. And I'll make a point to try to do the correction. But I'm thinking I don't really shouldn't be doing that, because it's pointless. You're going to a place they're not going to go anyways. So that's where I take it to the step I don't need to be going. So
okay.
I just want to confess that.
Let's pray. Father, in the All name right. of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Dave to you. We praise you, Father, for his walk. And we thank you, Father, that he has faith to believe that when we pray, it's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command the spirit of anger to go from him in Jesus' name. The spirit of lust to go in the name of Jesus. I command everything that's hindering his walk to leave him right now in the name of Jesus. And let's see, there's something else. Oh, yeah. Lord, I ask and I pray that you give him grace. Give him lots of grace and teach him what grace is. And grace is being, you know, humble and just overlooking a lot of things. And that's patience. And that's what you're working in every one of us. And I know that, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that he has now got that spirit of patience. If there is such a thing, he's got it. In Jesus' name. And Father, we praise you. We glorify you for cleansing all of these fire darts from Dave. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you give him supernatural energy when he needs it, and also supernatural patience, and to believe that he's got it from you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. It's done. It's thank done. You. It's done. Glory.
I knew that was one of the things that would be leaven in my life that I had to get out, you know. that's part of being in the bride. You got to get the leaven out. So,
yeah.
Thank you. Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Greg, I see you. Go ahead, buddy.
I just wanted to add to that, if I may, before we move on.
Yes, go right ahead.
Lord, okay, and we're standing with, you know, as a body, a part of the ecclesia. Praise you and honor you, Lord. And I just want to turn to the enemy and think, what are you doing? All of us, even if we fall, we have forgiveness. There's nothing you can do to us. And all these images and things you're bringing up, these thoughts, listen to the word. It tells us that any and every thought that sets us up against the knowledge of God, we cast down. We have the mind of Christ. So what are you doing invading that? And also with all these images, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to do as Phineas do and take his javelin. And all those images, those things you put before us, we shove that spear right into them, many of them, and hand them back to you to where they came from, because they do not have power over us anymore. We trample on all the works of the enemy. Amen. Sorry, I just wanted to get aggressive.
Amen. There. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's see. I think that is that you, Alice? From Arkansas. Tom. All right, who's the 270 number? Oh, is that Justin? That's Justin.
It's Marissa, Geneva's friend. Hey, everybody.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am blessed. I had that good down here.
I'm happy to be here.
Amen, we're happy to have you. Okay. Barbara, or Pat, go ahead. I think Pat was ahead first.
Hi, everybody. Listen, the Lord brought me to some things again today, or this morning. Actually, it was last night. So I just wanted to kind of confess these things and cast them down. And I recognize the same spirit of witchcraft or something happening probably for the last couple of weeks with me. And so I join in and receive what everybody was praying for tonight for everybody. So, but I just wanted to say what has been happening with me. I know that I have kind of a testimony of a leaking sink being healed here for, oh my gosh, it's got to be a few months at least. And here a couple weeks ago, and the Lord had taken me through seeing it. I don't know how to say this without almost sounding unbelief, but it was almost from a perspective that it was unbelievable that it was done. And I don't know if it was like a doubt or something that's just lodged in there. I don't know if it's the flesh is uncomfortable with receiving the promises of God, receiving a restoration of something that was a sink that was leaking, that I did absolutely nothing except just trust God to to heal it, to fix it, and he did fix it, and yet I was still uneasy about it. There was kind of an uneasy sense in there, but I let it go, and there was I think what the Lord was showing me is it's still it's still sin dwelling in there. It's still unbelief of some sort, still residing, still not giving up type of thing. And so the Lord showed me, because I was praying about it and asking, why is this feeling still here when you've clearly done this, you've restored this thing, it's restored. I literally for a couple of days just checked on it under there to make sure it wasn't leaking, and it wasn't leaking. And it was always there. It hadn't leaked until about 2 weeks ago. And what had happened is I was asking the Lord about this kind of this feeling, this underlying uncomfortable whatever it was that was there. And I asked him to take it away. You know, why would it be there and whatever? Well, he gave me I don't remember what scripture he gave me, but brought me back around to simply thanking the Lord for that sink that was healed, for healing my sink. And so I thought, fine. And so when we had some prayer for before dinner, I would thank the Lord for my sink, for healing my sink. And the saying that kind of created a, shall we say, a disturbance. And so I quit thanking the Lord for my sink. I just went on for it, with it, you know. All of a sudden, about 2 weeks ago, it started leaking again. So I crawled into the sink. I emptied the bag like I did before, you know, a couple months before. And I put it back on there, and then I rebuked it and went away, and it quit leaking. Yet I didn't continue on thanking the Lord for healing my sink. I think I did once or twice after that, and then I just let it go at that. And so it's like, things are trickling back in on me all of a sudden. Now I'm, you know, I have a pain in my back and various, you know, but the sink now was trickling again, starting to leak again or anything. And so this morning I was looking at this and I realized that the devil's trying to take it away from me. And so the thought was, what can I do about that? I thought about it. I prayed about it and came right back to that very same thing, thanking the Lord for restoring my sin. Not only that, but first confessing to the Lord that it was whatever that was, if it was unbelief or whatever, it's gone. I confessed it as sin. I cast it out, I cast it down, and I thank you, Lord, for restoring my heart, removing that sin, forgiving me of my iniquity, casting it out, cleansing me by the blood of Jesus, and restoring me with a clean, pure heart of trust, belief, confidence in your supply. That's what I'm trusting the Lord for, and going back to square one again and thanking him for restoring that sink, but much more thank him for restoring his life of faith within me. And so there's something there with receiving his gift, his truth, his provision that he gives us by faith. But there's got to be something else there in keeping it, not letting the devil take it, but keeping it and maintaining it. And I think that's what he is into showing me at this time. Now, I'm asking for prayer because you guys listen to me as I run my mouth every week. And I'm just asking for you, if you see something here that I'm missing or see something that I'm off base, I'm going in the wrong direction or something, or something that's plaguing me that you see that I don't see, then I'm asking you to pray for me.
I got a question for you.
Let her rip.
Do you still have the sack under there for the sink?
Yes.
So if it's healed, why do you need the sack?
To prove, I guess it was to prove to my wife that it's still there, that it's done, that it's not leaking anymore.
I remember.
Yes, it would.
I remember at Azusa Street. Well, I remember David's testimony about Mary, his wife, when she was sick and she'd asked the Lord, you know, they prayed the prayer of faith first time. And she went on for a few days and she said, Lord, how come I haven't been healed yet? And the Lord told her, he said, well, if you've been healed, why do you need all of that medicine? And that's why she took the medicine and flushed it down the toilet. So you might pray about that. Because if that thing is healed, you don't need it. And there's not going to be a spot of water underneath it when you take it off. I guarantee you.
Okay.
And as far as your back, we can pray for all of it. In the name of Jesus right now, we command Pat's back to be healed. In Jesus' name. We command it to line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he doesn't have to worry about it anymore. If it tries to go out there and do a wheelie and come back on him, all he's got to do is rebuke him. Nope, I've already been healed. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. And that's what we do. And I thank you, Father, for placing that in Pat and any other thing like that, Lord. We thank you for making a great man of faith out of him. And matter of fact, out of all of us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise be to God forevermore. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Pat. And we praise you, Father, for answering every prayer that he prays from this point on. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise.
Amen. It's done, Pat.
Thank you. I got Amen. It. I receive
Thank.
It.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see. I think Barbara had her hand up. Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, I put it in the chat. Father took care of it for me.
Okay.
I'd have been experiencing shortness of breath for a few days or so. And just sitting here, I started getting tightness in my chest and I started to feel like I wanted to pass out. And I just prayed to the Father and he took care of it immediately. So praise Amen. The Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Glory,
you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. All right. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, Phil. I'm just going to go right. I got you in line here. I'm just going to go to the left here. I don't know who's first, last, or whoever.
Sounds good. I have a praise report, and I just like to pray about it. Father, I just want to lift up my friend Jim from Arizona. We've prayed for him a couple times now, and he's home from the hospital, and he had no feeling in his foot, and he couldn't move his toes or anything, And today, Father, he's given you all the glory because he can now feel his foot. He can move his toes. He knows it's you, Father. It wasn't any doctor that did anything because they sent him home with a paralyzed foot. And, Father, now it's moving. So I thank you, Father, that you get all the glory, Lord.
Jesus. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Glory
thank
to God.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Lord, we knew that was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen because we believe what you say in your word. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Tell him to get up and walk on it now.
Oh, he is.
He's walking. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. All right. That's a good testimony.
Amen.
Is that it? That's a lot, but I'm out. Go ahead, Sue or Judy, whichever one of y'all it is.
I'd like to give a praise report, and I want to thank all of you for to keep praying for my daughter because she is really coming around really good.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
She still has a lot of battles with her husband. I mean, he doesn't know the Lord. He's just being used by Satan, and we come against that in the name of Jesus. But today, before I got on here, I had talked to her about praying in the spirit to build up her most holy faith, you know, and so I was on the phone with her and we were starting to pray. And also my grandson, her son was there with her and he started praying too. We were all praying in the spirit together. And I love that. But I don't know, it wasn't that long, it wasn't too long, but I want us to be able to do that again because he needs it, really needs it. That's my grandson. And they were he was telling me about how his sister, Victoria, she's been getting a little bit in trouble with some things. And I told him, he was telling me about it. And I said, well, that's just the work of the enemy. And whatever she's watching or doing, whatever she's around, if it's not Christian, and it's going to be demons coming after her. And when he was talking to me, he was telling me about what was going on, this program she was watching. And I said, and I know that Victoria can remember when she was five, how we had such an incident with casting demons out. And even before that, how the demons were bothering her and how we had to deal with them before I came down here. And so I'm believing that Willie's going to be able to talk to her and convince her not to be messing with this stuff because it's just going to bring demons into her life and cause trouble. So I'd like to pray about that too.
Okay.
Lord, I pray that you give Willie the boldness to be able to speak this to Victoria. And I pray that you will give her the understanding, the spiritual understanding. Remind her, Lord, of what had happened to her when she was young, when she was three on up to five or six. Lord, she even saw you, Lord. She saw you when I had to leave. So, Lord, just remind her and bring a remembrance of those things of the spirit, that she would want to come back and want to be able to walk in the spirit and not after the flesh, that she would not want to have anything to do with Satan and his antics and with the kids and with any programs. She would not want to have anything to do with that demonic influence. And just pray that you would help to lift her up and help her to speak in the spirit too, Father. Because I know when I was up there, I heard her speak in spirit. I believe she spoke, and it sounded like Hebrew or something like that. I don't know, maybe Arabic. I don't know, but I heard her say a few phrases. So I believe the Lord had filled her then, but had her speak in tongues. But I pray that she would have that desire, that she would want to speak in tongues, to get in the spirit again and get close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just excited about what's going on.
How old is Victoria now?
I think she's 10 now.
Is she 10 now? How old was she when we cast all those demons off of her?
I think it was five. I think it was five.
Really? That was a great transformation from a little girl that was just unruly. And then she just came back and she started glowing like a neon sign, man. She had so much love in her heart after that.
Since then she's had a lot of trouble because she's not with her mom because of all the things that were going on. And but the Lord is bringing restoration. I can see He's bringing restoration in the family. And whether Bernie receives or not, you know, I just pray that he would receive. But Tanya's starting to stand her ground in the spirit, fighting against the demons that and Willie's learning to do that with in this whole situation with Bernie. I've been on the phone with her off and on throughout all this, you know, to encourage her and to show her what, you know, to guide her and lead her. And so she's really starting to, I can hear her change. I mean, her voice is softened. She was hard before. Her voice is softened. She's not, she's just really more open to hear from me. You know, I'm her mom, you know, and moms don't, you know, no, normally children don't want to listen to their moms, you know. But she's very receptive. I'm just blessed by it. So thank you so much, everybody, for praying.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the victory. All right. Go ahead, Barry, Marilyn.
I went to the grocery store today and
Rachel. Praise God.
Yeah, hey, you know, it's a big trip, believe me. Anyway, ran into a lady that I've known for, you know, quite a few years. And she was looking kind of down. It's kind of hard to tell what people's emotions are when they got their mask on and stuff. You can tell what's going on. But anyway, she got kind of a little bit weepy. And I asked her what was going on. And she said her mom and said that she had gotten a call from the doctor that you know, her mom's was in the hospital and had bladder cancer, and the cancer spread to her lung and to her esophagus. And, you know, she's this lady's, you know, advanced age, and you kind of you want to see them get healed. But on the other hand, you know, it could be Lord's time to take her home. We just don't know. Anyway, want to pray for Cheryl's mom. Don't know exactly how to approach it.
Okay. How old is she, Barry? Do you know? Does she
say? The friend of mine's probably, you know, 55, 60, something like that. So, you know, this, her mom is, you know, well stricken with age, or as I say, well stricken in years.
And she's not afraid to die.
So I told Cheryl that, hey, if she's walking in the light she's got, she's fine and everything's going to be good. But they, you know, got her on hospice and they're talking about a couple of weeks left and this kind of thing. So I think it's a good opportunity to lift her up.
Does she want to be healed?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get to talk to her.
I got you.
It was kind of brief with the lady who was at work. You know, she, the lady I talked to, was working at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Barry, is she a Christian?
Well, the lady I talked to, or the mom?
Either.
Nominal, with the lady that works at the grocery store, I think. Her mom, I really don't know. That's why it's kind of hard to know how to pray for folks like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's pray that God's wisdom is on her to seek out Him on how to pray for her mama. Lord, we ask him, what's the girl's name?
It's Cheryl's mom. That's all I know. It's Cheryl's mom.
All right, Lord, we lift up Cheryl to you, Lord. We ask and we pray that you place it in her heart. If she wants her mama to live and her mama wants to live, to place it in her heart to heal her. As a matter of fact, this just came to me in the name of Jesus right now. If she's a Christian, she doesn't have to die under the curse. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of cancer off of her mama. In the name of Jesus, we command that fear of cancer out of the family in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that mom is healed, delivered, and set free from cancer. And if you want to take her home, you can take her home healthy. And that's the way all Christians ought to go, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that that's what's going to happen. And she's, next time that Barry and Marilyn see her, she's going to be touting the victories of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Cheryl's mom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my, my, my. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. So I guess I just I wanted to, which every prayer request is also a testimony in Jesus' name. But I wanted to say a prayer, I guess, for my brother Nathan, me and Isaac's brother Nathan. I've tried to call him like 3 times within the past like 2 weeks, and he hasn't been picking up my calls. So I reached out to his wife Sarah and asked her, you know, why, because that's not really like him. And I asked her why, you know, he hasn't been picking up my calls. And she said that she thinks he's kind of going through like a depressive phase. And, you know, I don't believe that for him. I don't believe that he's depressed in Jesus' name. You know, Nathan, that's his name, Nathan. There's a lot there with the situation. I don't want to say anything like that would belittle him or anything of that sort, but you know, his wife kind of carries, I guess, the responsibility that should belong to the man in the situation. And, you know, Nathan, I know there's a lot of spirits that the Lord needs, or there's a lot of spirits that he needs to be delivered of. And Isaac is, you know, also sent stuff his way, you know, from UBM and things as well. And I want to pray that he grasps onto that and that the Lord, you know, because Nathan's smart. And I want to pray that the Lord draws him near, and that Nathan has a desire to learn and to read and to want to know more about UBM. So that way he can be pulled out from underneath whatever this is that's trying to take hold of him. So anyways, last night I said a prayer for him, and he was just really on my heart. And so I called him today, and it was real short because he had something going on and I was at work. But I don't know. I know, you know, through patience and love, you know, because he can be frustrating at times, that the Lord will bring him in. But I just want to pray and believe for him.
Okay. You want me to pray, or you want to pray?
Can you pray?
Okay. No, I can't pray. I don't know how. I really. Yeah, I'll pray for him. Nathan?
Right. Yeah. You.
Okay. Yes. Well, Father, we lift up Nathan to you in the name of Jesus. And we break the power of Satan off of him right now in Jesus' name. We can crack at that wall that has got him into depression in the name of Jesus. And we cast it off of him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for opening up his spiritual eyes and his spiritual ears in Jesus' name. We cast off any kind of Ahab spirit. It go right now in the name of Jesus. And the Jezebel spirit out of mama in Jesus' name. We cast it out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're looking for a revival in this family, in Nathan's family, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said through your prophets, I heard it today, you said, Lord, you're going to have revival in the families. We're looking for it now in Nathan and his wife, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that it has started tonight, right now, in Nathan's family, in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. We're going to have the good report come Thursday night, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wait, maybe before we get off the conference call tonight. It's going to be quick, though. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anything else? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, when Geneva mentioned the phone call, you know, some of us may have phone calls in into family members that are really not answering them, or text messages. You know, Lord, I think we should maybe pray for a more open communication, if the Lord would open communication with some of our family members like this. You know, the Lord can do anything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. This is the Lord's sovereignty. We brought a lot of prayers up for our loved ones, and we remember the loved ones of our brethren also, Lord. And that there would be a better communication between them and us. We desire this, Lord, and you know we desire this. We desire to have the right words to say to them when they do call us, or if they come to meet with us anywhere. And I just pray, Lord, that you would break down some barriers here that would have these people call us, you know, and we love them. And we want them for salvation in some cases too, Lord. We've already put them on the altar before your feet, Lord. And Lord, just let them call us and let them confide in us or whatever, Lord. You know what you're doing, and we thank you for this, Lord. We wait for your leading here, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask that you put an insatiable desire to call those that won't call from their friends and family in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for doing it, because we got a good message for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, June, did you have your, is that your hand? Go ahead, June.
I've been praying along with all of you. So actually, I have a question for Geneva. I remember that she was going for an interview, and it was for hospice. I was wondering how it went for her.
So I had my first one with HR on Thursday, and I have my next one. I meant to say pray for that too. I have my next one tomorrow at 5:30 in the afternoon. So hopefully they like me. We'll see. I'm playing. No, I believe that they'll like me. But I mean, it's the Lord's will, you know. It's the Lord's will for me to have this job, then I'll have it. So I'm not. Today I had all kinds of thoughts, like if I don't get it, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be stuck at this place. Like, and then I had to like calm myself down, and well, the Lord calmed me down. And I remembered that, you know, if it's his will, and then no one else can take the position from me, and it's meant for me, and it will be mine. So I just stopped thinking about it, and praise the Lord for that, because I honestly quit thinking about it for the rest of the day. So thank you, Jesus. But yeah, thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
That's the attitude to have. It don't, as the old boy said, it don't make no never mind what they do. It's what God wants, isn't it?
All right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Hi, Missy. Anybody else got a prayer request? What's up, girl? Go ahead, Missy.
Anyway, yesterday I was walking over at the park, and there were two little boys and a mother, and I could tell that the mother looked like she was pregnant. She had a little bump there, you know. And the two little boys were, you know, off riding their scooters. And they were like 3 and 5 and 6. The littlest one might have been 4 maybe, and then like maybe 6 or something. Anyway. And they were coming towards me, and the youngest one was closer to me, and he wrecked on his little scooter, and when he went down, I saw that he like landed on his hand, and he was just laying there crying, holding his hand. And so, you know, I was a little hesitant, only because, you know, the whole COVID thing, social distancing, you know, it's your first, but I walked up to him anyway, I said to him, I said, you want me to help you get up and find your mama, you know? And he was just crying, and I put my hand on his hand gently and touched it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I asked him, I said, do you know who Jesus is? And he didn't say anything, and he just kept crying, and he slowly calmed down, and I got him to stand up, and by that time his mom was pretty close, and she says, thanks for helping him. And she said, you know, about, you know, her being pregnant, you know. And I said, I told her, I prayed for his hand, his healed, it's healed. I said, Jesus healed him. And she kind of like didn't pay no mind. I didn't get any response out of that. And I asked what his name was, and I can't remember now. It was like, it was a little unusual. It was like, it had a V in it or something. That's all I remember. And I asked her what her name was, like two or three times. And I realized she, I'm sure, because I was saying it loud, and I'm sure she heard me. She was just ignoring me. And because I don't think she liked that I said about Jesus, but that's all right. So, you know, the Lord put in my heart something to pray. And I pray, Lord, that there's going to be a reason at some point that he's going to have that hand or arm x-rayed. And they're going to see that there was some kind of injury there before and that it was healed. Only for the purpose of bringing to the mama's mind that I had prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to use that, Lord, to touch their heart, to touch her heart, and to know of your love and healing power and salvation in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord, that you use that amongst other things to bring salvation to this family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you grant repentance to bring them into the kingdom. Doesn't sound like they're too interested in you, but they can be if you change them, you pull them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, Geneva, go ahead.
All right. So I meant to say this. That night that I asked for direction about the interview, and we said a prayer. Well, I had a dream that night that I was, you know, in my office that I shared with two other people, and we were laying out. I was laying out my day, and Isaac and Mariana were there, and they were watching me. And I was like, "So this is what I do. This is how I talk to the doctors. This is." And I was kind of going over everything with them, and I just looked over at Isaac, and Isaac was sitting in a chair, and he just got up and he turned around and he walked away. And so I felt like the Lord was kind of showing me too, like, to just leave it behind, which I still need to read more in my word. But I thought that was a praise that the Lord blessed me with a dream that night too. So I wanted to tell you guys, thank you all for your prayer, because I do feel like that has pushed my heart to believe and thank the Lord for his will and what he's done. I want to tell you guys that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. All right, Tim, go ahead, brother.
I got a pretty good praise report. Thursday, I asked y'all to pray for Mitchell, our local mechanic, for God's grace on his trip down to Georgia. And so Saturday, I had a little opportunity to spend some time with him. So he's a Baptist guy. You know, he's on the edge, but he's still a Baptist. So I just asked him, I said, well, Mitch, how'd your trip go? And he goes, well, he says, we got out of here early. We got down, got these parts we wanted, and went over to Copart. And he says, I got there, and there was like 10 or eight rigs in front of me, and some of them will hold 10 cars. And I went in and did the paperwork.
Uh-oh, you froze up.
And he's going, that's almost 80 cars in front of me. They got a load. And he said, and 15 minutes later, the gal paid, texted me and said, come and get your paperwork. Huh? Oh.
No, okay, we can hear you now. We can hear you. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord, for the good report.
Okay, so anyways, 15 minutes later, you got it. Minutes, they loaded him out in front of everybody. And then he had time left to go track down some more.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. You're cutting in and out, but we got the gist of it, that he had a great trip. He was put ahead of a bunch of cars to load up at Copart. Amen. Amen, I think. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Tim. You have froze up. But we got the gist of it, and we just praise God for Mitch's wonderful testimony that he...
On the way back home, and he had just a great trip. And I said, well, we prayed for you to have a good trip, Mitchell. And he goes, well, it sure enough worked.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Good testimony. All right, Missy.
I'd like to share with everybody what I shared this morning in the morning prayer meeting. I talked to my sister yesterday, my sister Cindy, and her husband's not saved, if y'all remember. His name is Frank. And I think this is the first Christian movie he ever watched. And he watched, I'm not positive, but I think it is. And they watched Overcomer. And but before the movie came on, there's all these previews of other Christian movies. And I think Cindy said he mentioned that he wanted to watch every one of them, whatever they were. And so she said that they watched it, and he just cried, and she cried too in the movie. But he cried, you know, and she's like, the Lord's really softening his heart. And I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, that was shocked me, because I never would have pegged him for a sap. I just say that just because Merle, he can be like that, you know. Anyway, and so then yesterday, last evening, they watched I forget what it's called, something the Giants, whatever. Anyway, and she said he was crying during that one too. So the Lord's really working on him. Just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him into the kingdom soon. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, facing the Giants. That's right.
Yeah. That's a good one. So,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
We feel the courageous.
Yeah, what she said. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. It's awesome. This is testimony night. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? I got a little story to tell you. Just a little one. I was listening to, as I said earlier, I was listening to Tommy Welchel. Tommy Welchel, W-E-L-C-H-E-L, was a guy that went out to California from Oklahoma back in the 60s as a teenager, runaway, and got hooked up in this old folks home. And in this old folks' homes was a lot of Azusa Street witnesses. And he would sit down for 2 hours and listen every day to one of these people tell about it. A question he would ask him is, what was the greatest miracle you saw? And y'all have heard some of them, but here's one that I don't believe you have heard. There was this pianist that was a piano player for a large mega church there in Los Angeles. And he had rheumatoid arthritis, I believe it was, some kind of arthritis, crippling arthritis, whatever, that's probably rheumatoid. And his hands was like this. And he came there for prayer. And one of the men there that he was talking to said he was the one that told him, he said, well, get over at the piano and start playing. And the guy lifted up his hands. He said, I can't play. He said, get over there, sit down, and put your hands on the piano keys and start playing. And so the guy went over there and went to chomping down on it. And then all of a sudden the fingers came out and he started playing. He got his old job back at the mega church playing the piano again. Walking it out. Don't never forget that. You have to walk it out. And that's why one of them, oh my goodness, I don't want to sit here for hours telling these things, but it's an awesome thing to understand this. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at those. Look at what the Word of God says. That's when I told that lady out there at the Lone Oak County Fairgrounds, I said, that old lady hadn't walked in years in a wheelchair. I said, come up out of that wheelchair, Grandma, let's go. And she did. She jumped right up out of there and went to walking. And the rest of that day, she pushed her daughter around in that wheelchair. She jumped up by faith, knowing that her legs were strengthened because of the power of God. Faith. Faith is acting on what you believe. Acting on what you believe. That's God, when that guy started doing that, I remember one over in here we had years ago. A lady had a ball joint out of her hip, completely demolished. And she was crippled. And we prayed for her. And I grabbed her up and I said, come on, let's go walking. And we went walking around the sanctuary. And by the time we got halfway around there, she said, I feel something. And her daughter was helping me. I feel something in my hip. And I said, what is it? She said, I think it's the ball came back. I said, well, praise God. And then, but the joint hadn't completely healed yet. And the next meeting, this is a lesson. This is a very good lesson. The Lord told me, he said, call for people who want to be healed, to get up and be healed. And I did. She didn't stand up. And I thought to myself, what is going on here? And she allowed the devil to keep her from her healing because she wasn't going to act by faith, because she thought that she was playing like, you know, I'm already healed. I don't need to stand up. Well, no, you need to stand up when there's a call for it. Get up and get that healing. The full measure of it. Always get up and get that healing. It doesn't make any difference where you are in your faith. If you'll do that, if you'll stand up and get in there when there's a call for it, you'll get healed. I guarantee you, because the gift of faith was in operation at that time. I'm telling you, we're going to see. I'm going to tell you something we're going to see. Y'all want to hear about what we're fixing to see? We're fixing to see this right here. There's going to be men and women out there that they can't get close to people because of the power of God that's going to be on them. It's going to knock the people out of the way. You think I'm kidding? You watch what I'm telling you. The Lord's going to tell them, back off a little bit and pray for them. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to see it. Our job is to have faith that when we pray for somebody, it's already done. It's already done. And when you do that, woo, glory to God. You're going to see miracles like you ain't never seen before. You're going to see legs grown out. You're going to see arms growing out that have been ripped off because of an industrial accident. You're going to see all that good stuff. You're going to see big cancers on the side of people's heads just killing them, shrink up that quick. That's what happened to one lady in there. She came in there holding the thing. It was so big on the side of her face. She walked in there. And the lady said, what is that? She said, it's a cancer on my head. and it's killing me. It's a lot of pain. She was holding it to keep it steady because every time it moved, it was pain. And the guy told her, he said, get your hand off of it. It's healed in Jesus' name. He said that thing started drying up right then before their eyes. And by the time she left, it was completely gone. Another lady come in there with a towel on her ear. She had been in a fight with her boy, with her husband's girlfriend, of all things. It bit her ear off, completely off her head. Wasn't nothing there, but just the inside of the ear. And the lady said, take the towel off. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And she said, I was so surprised. She was telling Tommy, she said, I was so surprised. She said, oh, my gracious. And that ear started growing out right back on her head. Praise God forevermore. That's what we're going to see, folks. All we have to do is have the faith to believe it's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. That's why we have such success here. We believe what we pray. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Thank you for that word, Michael. I was just talking to Mariana maybe 25 minutes ago, and I mean this. I feel better. Amen. And like I felt it break loose, like it drained down. But I wanted to do something. If that's okay, I just gonna set the computer right there, and I was just gonna real quick. Won't take long. I was just gonna praise the Lord real quick and a shout. Is that okay? Because I feel the urge to do it. I feel the urge to dance for it.
Yeah, glory. Praise God forevermore.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Thank glory you, Jesus.
God, glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Go for it, brother.
Yeah. I feel it because God, I couldn't even walk earlier without feeling awesome. That way. I feel it. I'm healed.
Is Marianne still there? They're running out the door. Okay, girl, that's good. Praise God forevermore. That's great, Isaac.
Yeah, you're right. Want to walk it out. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. It's been many a time I wanted to do that on here, but I held back. Jumping for joy. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Isaac. That was awesome. That was awesome. All right, who else wants to get up and jump around? Praise God. Oh, my. Ah. Woohoo! My goodness. All right, anybody else? Yeah, me too. Thank you, Father, for Isaac's boldness in front of everybody in here, getting up there and showing us his steps in Jesus' name. Amen, brother. Glory to God. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? We've already had a little bit of church here, hadn't we? Praise God. Yeah, Joe. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Amen. Amen. I want at least that. At least a double portion.
Michael, what's that double portion mean of a spirit? It can't be twice as much.
Yeah, twice as much. If you read the story, Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Oh, yeah, okay. I want fullness, whatever that is. I want to be full. You know what I mean, Joe?
Oh, so what it means fullness, it's not, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I want the fullness of God be working So I want the fullness of God to be working in the body of Christ so everybody can get a miracle, you know? Because when you got a team like this going out on the streets all over the United States and America and the world, you got a lot of people coming in. Revival's fixing to start, y'all. Revival's fixing to start. You know what's going to bring it on? I believe God's judgment. That's generally what triggers it. There's going to be a repentance according to a what's that guy's name, Missy? Or Julie?
Timothy Dixon.
Yeah, Timothy Dixon. Yeah. He said there's going to be a revival starting in Nashville. There's going to be a revival in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, of course. What else? Y'all remember what else he said?
He said within 30 days.
Within 30 days.
So and that he tells. Said, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
He said.
You already interrupted me. Might as well go ahead and finish it.
Sorry.
Again, Missy, go ahead.
I listened to it like, oh my gosh, 3 or 4 times today because there's so much that he said in there. It's like I wanted to make sure I caught the really important stuff. And he said that within the next few days, how do you say that? Within the next few days, very soon, Trump's going to be back there. He's going to be back.
Angelica, it's today's prophecy. It's the one that was about, when I thought it wasn't but 2 hours up on the YouTube. So it's the latest one.
Yeah.
Okay. What else, Missy?
Oh,
gosh. You say within a few days that the president was going to be back in office.
He said soon. He said very, very soon or something like that. And he said about locusts that the locusts are going to eat up certain areas, but it's going to be like
I'm seeing 911 on my clock now.
It's going to be like Goshen and the land of Goshen. It's not going to touch certain areas, you know, which, you know, and my thought is there's like these, I heard Bill Gates and I forget who else. There's like two Fauci. Or three. Huh?
Fauci.
No, there's two or three that have bought up a bunch of farmland. Yeah, and my thought right away was that, you know, their land's going to be devoured by the locusts, you know. But it's not going to touch Goshen, he said, like in Goshen. It's not going to touch Goshen.
That's where you need to be praying for your farmland around you in the area you're in. You know, that's what we've done.
And he said that you know, basically the general gist of it is if you don't repent, you're gonna come under judgment. And I know, you know, what stuck in my mind from somewhere in 2014, I think it was, or so, David did a Bible study and he talked about the number 44. And that's one of the numbers that represents the man child, and I distinctly, and it just so stuck with me that when the Lord pours out his spirit, it's going to bring judgment to some and blessing to others. And I really think that is what is going to, you know, we know that's what's going to start this revival. So I believe the man child anointing is coming very soon too, you know. It's
cool.
Not just a revival of repentance. I think it's just a revival, period. I mean, that's part of being a revival is repentance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. All right, go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to just chime in on the Timothy Dixon thing. I didn't, I haven't seen all of it because I kept rewinding it. If you can do that with something digital, I kept going back over and over and over. But he did mention about Antifa doing bad stuff in Oregon. And yeah, very, very interesting. That's all I had to say, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't doubt that. Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah, he did say about that. And he said because the reason they're doing that is because they're seeing that they're not getting their way with the laws and things are being turned around. And I think he mentioned that not long after he said about, you know, Trump getting back in there and all. So, and I can imagine that it's not just going to be in Portland, because he mentioned specifically Portland. And so, yeah, they're gonna start doing that because of being their agenda is being thwarted. So,
amen.
So, Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're working in the hearts of the judges, the authorities, police, anyone who has authority to bring forth justice and all, that there's many people across the land that know things and have ability to make rulings and have authority. And I thank you, Lord, for turning the hearts of men for your purpose, for righteousness, Lord, that righteousness comes forth in the land, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Dominate, go ahead, brother.
Okay, I just said something quick. If it's not the appropriate time to ask you about it, that's okay. Then I can just, it was just the other day I was praying with a group of people and I had somewhat of a vision that wasn't related to anything we were praying about. And I'm a little confused on it. It might not mean anything, but I found it to be interesting. I saw like a snake like slithering towards me, but it had human skin on it. And instead of a head, it was like a flat surface, and it had a woman's eye on it. It had like makeup and everything. And it slithered up to my face. I was seeing it in first person, and it came up to one of my eyes, and its eye color started changing, like from black to blue or green or something like that. And I didn't really know what it was. It was kind of interesting. And it might not mean anything, but it was really weird. I saw it like slithering up to me, and I kind of let it get up to my face. It didn't have a mouth or anything, or all it had was a human eye for like a head, I guess. It was strange. But yeah, I don't know what it means. I thought maybe I can ask you guys what you thought.
Well, first thought hit me was Hillary Clinton, but no, you said it didn't have an open mouth, so it couldn't have been her. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really strange.
Missy's got the answer.
No, I don't, but there was something that I wanted to pray about if there's nothing more with Dominic.
Well, wait a minute. Let's see what Marilyn may have something on it. What do you think, Marilyn?
Kind of what came to me, and Dominic, this is something we all go through. It's coming to the realization that our biggest enemy is ourself. It's I. And, you know, obviously that's the fact, oh, wow, and the fact that it had human skin as well. I think it's might be part of the realization of the Lord showing you, you know, self-idolatry. But, you know, don't take that in a negative way, because I mean, that's the biggest enemy that all of us have to overcome. And the fact that it was just a big eye and it had human skin. Michael, I know you know more. You can say more about that.
But I really wasn't listening. I was trying to answer.
Oh, okay.
Chad, I'm sorry. What'd you say, Nia?
What came to me is I believe it's you know, our biggest enemy is ourself, self-idolatry. You know, that it's the one that is crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in us. And the fact that the snake was just a big eye, and the fact that it had human skin.
Yep, I believe you're right. Could be. All right, Lord, we just thank you for giving him, giving Dominique the power to overcome. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Give us all that, Lord. Give us all that power to overcome self and self-gratification. We're here as servants, Father, and teach us that in Jesus' name. You did that. All we got to do is read about you. We'll know. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Something caught my eye on YouTube the other day, and I usually don't really listen to much or, you know, news stuff or whatever.
Disclaimer.
But this really caught my eye because it was about the border, and here Ted Cruz from Texas, you know, Texas, what is he, a senator? And there was this big, huge tent that could hold like 4,000 people, but they're, you know, with the whole supposed to be social distancing. He went in with a camera and he filmed in there, and he was in an area and this woman kept trying to keep him from filming and everything. And he was insistent because people need to know what's going on. And it was just really crowded with people. And most of all, it was children. And there's so many children coming over the border and stuff like that. And it just, you know, I wanted to pray for the children, that these children, you know, because we know the horrifying things that have happened with children. And so I want to pray concerning those children. Father, I just ask you to send forth your angels. You send forth people. You prick people's conscience in their hearts that are around those children. They're supposed to be helping those children, that you move in their hearts, that they help the children. They do not harm those children in any way or pass them off to somebody they should not be passing them off to. And Lord, I just ask you to put those children back with their parents. And if they're there and they don't have any parents anymore, Lord, I ask you to find parents for them that will care for them and love them, and ones that will tell them about the salvation of Jesus Christ, and that they would come to know you, Lord, and repent and believe in you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. David, do you mind praying for Dominique about that? You heard that teaching. I don't guess I've heard that one. That's what I hadn't heard.
Yeah, it's one of my folders I got about it's basically about dying to self. So I can give that prayer for Dominic. This is a prayer David suggested that he asked God about, gave him the gift of death. What that meant was a gift of death to self, the self life and new life in Christ. So we can pray that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that Dominic, you give him that gift of death, that gift of death to self, so he can die to himself, that self-life, there's something there that needs to die so that Christ can come in and inhabit. and live new life in him. We pray that for Dominic, that new life of Christ comes in and that self-life dies. And we pray that for all of us. If there's anything in us that needs to be crucified, put on the cross so we can follow Jesus, to be disciples of Jesus, so we can lay it on the cross, so we can die to ourselves and new life comes in Christ. We pray for that also, Father. Give us that gift so we can have that new life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. I believe it. Yeah, Pat. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, I want to tag on. Number one, I received that prayer as well from Dave there, and I join in with Dominic, Lord, in that same desire to experience, to dwell, to rest in you, in that death that you have provided us in Christ. And I thank you for that, Lord. Just bring forth in our hearts, Lord, that that place, that fear of the Lord, that wonderment, that enthrallment in your absolute sovereignty over every, each and every detail of our lives, past or future. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I'd also like to take time to pray, join with Missy in that prayer, and specifically for that lady that was standing out and taunting and trying to block his view and the camera's view of those people. Lord, I pray that you would shatter her delusions about what is happening there, that you would shatter her delusions, that you would reveal unto her eyes, unto her understanding, and give her understanding what is happening behind the scenes in the destruction of these children and the wickedness of those evil leaders that are trying to manipulate people and manipulate news and manipulate people's minds for their own perverse thoughts, for their own perverse gain. Lord, I would pray that you would bring, I bind that spirit of delusion in her right now. I bind it and I cast it down. I command light to shine in her heart and bring a sense of repentance, shame for what she is doing and standing up and touting the evils, just defending the indefensible. Lord, just open up her eyes and bring her into a reality of where she is standing right now. And open up her eyes to you, Lord. Just the judgment that she's under, the judgment that she's allowing in her own life. And Lord, show her your mercy. Have mercy upon her, Lord, and pour out an understanding and a desire to repent and to come to you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving those children. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for getting Trump back in there, so I know he'd save them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. I heard, Pat, that, or I had read, that the reason they're sending all those children up here is because they've shut off their supply of kids in the underworld. And they're trying to get them in here to do the evil stuff that they do to kids, like Missy was talking about. And I'm glad that Ted Cruz went down there and filmed it. Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was going to say, David Hodges wrote a piece about the connection between the Biden family and the others. A lot of connections that have to do with these children. And I mean, it sounds like they're just wanting to replenish what's been taken out of the tunnels. Very, very, very evil. So I pray against this too, Lord. You know, there's a lot of. I'm starting to realize that there's been a lot of the stuff, the level of evil that these guys have been doing is so overwhelming. I think once they start publicizing these confessions and maybe sharing some video and whatnot. I think the American public is, even though a lot of them may be very jaded because of all the gaming movies and terrible movies that have been Hollywood's been putting out, I think it's going to be an overwhelming horror. So I'm just starting to get a little sense of that, and it makes me very, very sad. I'm sad for the people that have been perpetrators of this stuff, because their fate is not good at all. Anyway.
Amen. Amen. Lord, clean them up. Clean up those tunnels. Get those babies in safety. Praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Judy Sue.
Well, I just wanted to mention there's a video of an interview with this guy. I think his name is Tim Ballett or something like that. And Jim, how do you pronounce his name? That played the Passion Jesus.
Caviezel.
Caviezel.
Yeah. Okay. It's a real good interview. And they talk about that's what this Tim did. For 30 years, he's gone under there, the tunnels, and gotten kids. And Jim is playing his part in this movie and The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah.
And it's the interview that they have with them is really awesome.
Amen.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah. That film's not going to come out till probably the end of the year. Go ahead, Missy.
Oh, you just said the film's not going to come out till the end of the year now?
That's what Jim Caviezel said. The other day that I saw an interview with him and Tim Ballard, and they mentioned that there are things that had to happen before they could put it out, and it looked like it was going to probably be the end of the year. So I don't know, it could change.
Well,
I was under the impression that they were going to put it out in order to open up the people's minds about what's going on. But then I heard them say that it doesn't look like it's going to be out until the end of the year. Now, I think this was already into 21 when they made that interview. I don't know. I hope they get it right on out. It needs to be out.
Yeah, well, let's pray about that.
Okay.
Lord, we ask you to move mountains, hills, all obstacles to get this movie out ASAP, Lord. But really, most of all, we just bind up all the works and of the enemy that we're trying keep it from coming out when you want it to come out. We know your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, we're like now, Lord, we're chomping at the bit, Lord. And we just want to see your justice come forth, Lord. And we want for people to no longer be in the darkness, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to do that quickly, Lord, and prepare people's hearts to see the things, Lord, that they ain't gonna like, but they have to see them to know the atrocities that's been done and the lies they've believed, Lord, that they would finally know the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for getting that movie out. I believe when the American public see these testimonies that they have filmed of these people, there's not going to be I don't think it'll be a safe place for them, because if they're loose, I don't know if they even be loose. I think they'll probably put them in jail and worse. And I understand they've already started a lot of that for a whole bunch of them. A lot of people into that child sacrifice garbage, satanic ritual stuff. And it's been going on for centuries. Lord, we thank you for draining this swamp up here, this sewer swamp, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get back on good stuff. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to talk about? Yes, Pat.
I just wanted to share a couple things. I know, I think it was Saturday, Claire had brought up a scripture. And I hate to say it, but I don't even remember the dream that it was connected to. She had a dream and then she had a confirmation of a scripture. And that scripture, I think she said, was Ezra 3:6. And so and I'll just read it. She said, from the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto Jehovah. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. And I didn't understand what that was referring to. I think contradicted. I wish we had that recorded. Does anybody remember what her dream was about?
Yeah, it was the onion dream. Rayon said, muddy. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, look in the chat. Rayon put up there that it was about the muddy kids.
Yeah, muddy kids and the onion that they had. And
maybe Claire will write it out or whatever. But anyway, so I read that. That verse, and it said, and my question was, it said, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. And when I kind of read the context of the chapter, I don't want to get into a whole big thing here, but because I haven't studied it out myself. But as I was reading it, I read the next one. It says, they gave some money also unto the masons and unto the carpenters and food and drink and oil unto them of Sidon and them of Tyre to bring cedar trees, etc. So if you go back and read the verses before it, it's talking about setting up altars. And it was really about bringing a group of people together in and preparing them to be workers in overseeing the rebuilding of the temple. And I think I had to go to the chapter before that and chapter after it to kind of get a picture of that. But it kind of clarified that in this time, and I think that even just hearing what Claire said about the muddy children, it kind of fits now as I'm thinking about it. But the Lord is preparing workers to be able to work in the building of the temple. And it was kind of the thought that came to me is that the man child is not the temple and the bride is not the temple. They are parts of the temple but the major amount of the temple are the people that are still out there. And it takes, and so the Lord kind of threw this picture he's put me in the construction business as a construction superintendent for the last 25 years. And I've kind of developed become aware of the construction process in that about 90% of the work in the construction process happens on paper. It happens in the spirit. A client has an idea about a building. what they want, and they have a lot of ideas, and people throw some ideas out there. We would like to have this, we'd like to have that, that. Then they have an hire an architect, and they tell them all these visions of what we like and this and that, and then they pay this architect, and he goes out, he imagines all this thing, you know, I'd like to have this, this would really look nice, and this would be blah, blah, and it would really build, and then they do, and so they put it, they design this picture and that, this whole package, and then they bring it back to the owner and said, no, I don't like that, it doesn't fit what I'm really thinking, and I'd like to have this and this and that, and what should I? They go back and they redesign it, and so for probably a good year before is this development of an idea or a concept, and they're putting all this stuff on paper. They're taking that what's in their mind, they're developing a clear picture of it and putting it on paper. And then it gets kicked around, and engineers, and they bring the engineers in, and then they get to a kind of a picture of what they really want to see, what they want to build, and then they put it out for build, and they get prices, and they put and do all of these things that they do up until the very, and all of this gets development, gets financed, gets everything gets done based upon a vision on a paper, on paper. It's a vision. It's an idea that has been put on paper, and it's a vision. And these architects and engineers, they have to have a very clear understanding of the details at the very detail level of what it's going to do to put that thing together to build this edifice at the end here. And everything that takes place up until it gets up to my stage in the field, I'm the one that has to guide these people in the field that they don't know about the bigger picture. They have a concept of this. I need a wall here. I'm going to build a wall. This is how I've always built walls. This is the way we do it. Up, up, up. But the engineer and the architect or the superintendent has to be able to study those plans to try to catch the spirit of what these people, what this designer wants to create. And I guess, and so my job, it becomes monitoring what these people do for a living. These people that do the actual construction, they know how to do it. They know how to do things, but you have to guide them with the bigger picture. You have to know where this thing has got to end up in order to be able to size up something, if they're doing it right or wrong, and be able to make that course correction before it gets too out of, you know, way out in left field, so it costs a lot of money to really bring it back under the original design intent. So I look at that and I see that this restored gospel that is the foundation where Christ brought it back into alignment 2,000 years ago and brought this truth and reality back into alignment. He's got the absolute design and the absolute picture and knows exactly where this thing has got to go. But he has to have people in the field that are going to monitor this process and do a little tweaking here and being able to convey information and make sure that the right information gets, be able to see where that foundation, somebody's doing something incorrect in the foundation, you got to correct it at the foundation. You got to correct it there. So when I saw this thing that said the foundation had not yet been laid, it dawned on me that that's really where this whole package is coming together here at the end, is it that God is going to direct his people to oversee this project so that every detail is as per he wants it done. That's why we have to be, that old man in us has to be dead and buried and gone and a piece of history, because only the Lord Jesus is the one that's going to be guiding the building of this temple. And he doesn't want any second opinions popping in there in the middle of this thing. He wants this right the way he has it planned. He's designed it from the get-go, and he knows exactly where he's got to take it. So I don't know. That's kind of the thing that I got out of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but God didn't do that anymore, Pat.
Okay.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Go ahead, Andrew. Or Isaac, I don't know who was first. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I like what Pat brought up there. You know, I was watching this 20-minute video about some of these people who were restoring an old house, a house that wasn't livable in. And they had like 20 to 30 minute videos fixing this house, fixing it all up. It had a foundation and was all set, but it wasn't livable. They didn't have the drywall in it. The plumbing was shot and everything, and they had to fix it up. And there was about 90 videos, and you know, I just watched this and I said, Lord, I'm going to watch this just to see how people fix fences, you know. And I'm watching this for a spiritual means, you know, just to see the work and the labor and that they put into it, you know. What they show you in 20 minutes is like a whole day of them working. They just speed it up but if you apply it to all the spiritual aspects there, you know, you know, in Revelation 12, that for 3.5 years, there's a woman there that has to have re-education from the man-child and the bride. And, you know, if you apply the spiritual aspects of building a house and putting all these items into it, the Lord said in chapter 14 of John that he goes to prepare a place for you. But you people here have the Lord within you. Who's he going to do this with? He's going to do it with you as long as you don't go ahead of him. You're yoked to the Lord. He goes first. The Father's the plowman in the back, and you're beside him. And don't let him minister direction to you from the plowman, because he'll set you straight, you know. And anyways, you know, I tried to scribble as many little notes here as I possibly could while Pat was speaking here. And you know, when the Lord sent them out 2 by 2, the 70 and the 12, you know, that he mentioned there to see whatever house you could enter into, to see who was worthy. You know, you can eat with these people. You know, it's not like in the book of Acts. It's not about kitchen food, okay? But they still had a problem there with Peter, had a problem there. They had some kitchen food there. And the only one that was going to correct that was Paul, because if there was any discrepancies about Paul being an apostle, it was going to be proven right there with that dissimulation, they called in the book of Acts. So this was improving the people's houses of the saved people that observed all this, you know. You know, there are predestined, there are called, and there are chosen people. We talked about today about a movie, some person watching a Christian movie. And he's getting really emotional about it and loves it a lot. You see, something entered into that person's house at that point. He's predestined. The Lord's working on him. He's drawing him. When you get saved, he still draws you. And it's a forever drawing. If you read chapter 3 of Philippians, the apostle Paul, with all the magnificent things he received from the Lord to write down in the word, he was still never said he arrived. You know, he was waiting for more. So, and like with any construction, you know, you got to see that if you're starting from fresh construction, I would assume you got to look at the earth, the ground, what you're going to be digging in, you know. And you can just look at all the parables of the sower, the four different lands, the parable after the parable of the four different lands, what's going to be growing in there together and stuff. And there's some interesting things that pop into my head from Ezekiel about something that's already built, but there's big, huge gaps and holes in the walls that have to be repaired. So this Revelation 12 woman's going to need some repairing here. And you guys are up to the helping with this, because the Lord's going to do it all. You know, the Lord went to prepare this place for us, and he's going to do it all with his love. He's going to make the love go straight across the board from heart to soul to mind, with your strength, the love of the strength, Tabitha hands, you know, he's going to do it all. You know, it's a leading of the Lord. You're the second one behind him in the yoke. It never really works too well when you go ahead of him, you know. And even with the Apostle Paul saying he's the spiritual one in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he says that there's a decency and an order to things. But he also says there that, you know, what I'm writing to you here is spiritual items. And there was an item not too long ago we discussed about women in leadership. And he's showing you there that that there is an order and a decency to things, and the things that he has written there. You know, he wrote that for the people in his time, but he also wrote it for our time. You know, you don't go ahead of the Lord. You know that this is a spiritual significance. When you see these in the churches and they're ordaining this, you just went ahead of the Lord. You know, you follow him in the yoke. You know, if you overlook that, those words there near the end of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, you see that, you know, and that's the one thing I was impressed with when I first learned that, you know, that I saw the spiritual significance of people going ahead of the Lord. So this all stems from meekness, humbleness, gentleness, all the fruits of the Spirit. These are the building stones of your house. And we really seek after these things from the Lord. And he gives even chastening to people if they don't do this right. But he does this because he loves them. There's a chastening there in the Laodicean church, and in the chapter in Hebrews, I'm not sure if it's 12 or 13. So, and it's got to be all him. You know, you're the child here. You know, he'll go knock on his door, man. You say, I need some loaves. I got some people over. You know, and I don't have enough. I don't have anything to give them. You know. Oh, he'll fill you with loaves, man. He'll get two in your ears, two in your eyes, two breadsticks up your nose, and a couple of loaves in your mouth, and you're going to be carrying a whole bunch of them in your arms at the same time. He's going to give you that many loaves. You know, you have talent. No matter if you have five talents, and you got to do 100% there. If you have two, you got to do 100%. Even if you guys have 2.5, you know, you'll get another 2.5. That's pretty gracious after you add them all up. But even if you have this half talent, you got to produce another half, 100%. That's what the Lord wants out of you. He wants 100%. You see, some of you are very educated people. You're going to get more to give. You're going to produce. It's not you doing it. You know, don't. You're not a football going through the field goals and landing in the mustard tree. You're the bird who's already flew over there. Don't let Jesus try to kick you in there, because when he shakes this world, all the footballs are going to fall out of the mustard tree, but the birds are going to have to just flap for a while. So you got plenty to eat in that mustard tree, because there's seeds in there for everyone, you know. And I remember looking at all these mustard fields and stuff, and get one seed that goes off to the side. And after years, it becomes this huge, you know, he's not with the main crop of the mustard field, but he's off to the side. And after years, he's as huge as one of these big oak or maple trees. So it kind of reminds me of how Moses had to pitch his tent outside the camp. You know, I don't know how much further you guys want to go outside the camp, but you're outside the camp when you come to this, the ministry of the Lord, this ministry of the Lord. And he's building you, and he'll build you. And, you know, just today, as I was reviewing chapter, let me just get my glasses back on. The Lord's going to have to fix these eyes of mine. And but it was chapter 14. Such huge humbleness in that whole chapter. You know, and I don't mean to be offensive to the Lord when I said the loaves that he's going to supply for you. And the reason why I said he'd put them in your eyes and ears, and even in your nostrils here, you know, in your mouth and in your hands, because, you know, he's trying to change your mind, and you got these eyes that can see 1,000 words, the picture, you know, and you have a diagram here that the Lord has given you, and it's written upon your soul. So with the Holy Spirit, so let him keep writing. He'll fill you. You'll fill others. And that's the intent I got from what you're saying there, Pat, and what perhaps is even in this dream, that the foundation is set. Even the land is prepared. Everything's done by the Lord. Yeah, and praise and glory to God. It's going to be a happy and blessed time. You know, we have to focus on pleasing our Father and blessing mankind. There's no other way you can go about it but that. You know, it's just one of the people came in and said once, oh, we just have to please the Lord and bless man. And I just picked up on that. Well, yeah. And the Lord takes you by the hand, and he leads you where you want to go. You know, don't let him put the chokehold on your yoke. You know, don't let him try to choke you there while you're on that yoke. And you know, there's these singular words, you know, about yoke. You know, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, there's a fellowship there. There's a communion there. There's a concord there. There's a portion there. There's an agreement there. You know, all of this, you know, this agreement, you know, the sanctuary with idols, you know, you go back to the wilderness, you know, we have a parable there of a lifestyle that you're going through now in your wilderness. And the idol that was in the wilderness with Moses, someone had to say those words. Hey, let's build a golden calf. That's where the idol started. It didn't start with them just starting to make the work and do it. Someone had to speak it. That was a wrong agreement they made. So we are focused in the Lord. It's not us. It's all him. And I just find it really exciting that the Lord's going to move this way, you know. you know, I spoke last time on how the Lord came to me twice and brought the gospel to me when I was a child and then in my teens, but it wasn't my time yet. I had to wait. So that was an open door. You know, there was a time there where my school teacher told me in the last 1 minute of his lessons that some people don't believe in this. And one of the other students said, "What do you mean, sir?" "Well, they believe in creation, not evolution." You know, that was an opening for this predestined person. You had these openings in the past. You may have not known that you've experienced them, but he's building his house. He's drawing his people before they're saved, when they're saved, and he still continues to draw them till the point where they stand before him in paradise. So glory to God, you know, glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Isaac.
That's my one talent. I hope I get another one out of it.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Hey, the other day y'all, Rion and Claire mentioned that dream, and you know, I'm still trying to interpret some of my dreams. So, but I was reading What Has Been Shall Be, The Man Child Returns. That's a pretty good book. And this was a page I read after they were talking about that, which is super cool, man. It'd be okay if I read this one page real quick.
Yeah.
So it says repentance revival. And this is what David says. He makes a joke here, which is actually pretty good. He says, Matthew 3:4, "Now John himself had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about him, the Jordan." David says, that sounds like a great revival, doesn't it? But he says here, "I did learn that all was not all, because the Lord said that the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected for themselves the counsel of John, being not baptized of him," Luke 7:30. So all here means all of the elect, not all of the people. The Jews understood that very well, because they believed in election. They believed that they were the elect people, the chosen, which is the same word, eklektos, people of God, and that God did not choose anyone outside of them. Well, it's still the same today, Matthew 22:14. "For as many are called, but few are chosen. God does call many unto him, but not all are called and of those whom he calls. He still chooses only those who bear fruit. The first thing people need is repentance, and I believe that we're going to see this preaching of repentance through some very anointed men of God, men who have the former reign anointing. And you see people coming out of their churches." Wait, I missed something. "The former reign anointing. And it's going to start a great revival, as in this passage where you see the people coming out of their churches and going into the wilderness to meet John, Matthew 3:6. And they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. That's a good sign of repentance, when people confess their sins. In fact, every great revival starts out that way, and a great anointing falls on the people to be grieved over their sinfulness and to repent and confess their sins." Oh, that was pretty good. That's it. It's at 108.
I know in the New Hebrides or Lewis revival, that's what it was. It was repentance. They dropped down. They said, "Lord, is there still room for me? Is there still room for me?" They were crying out to the Lord because they had that spirit of repentance was down there on. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I'm a little late here. What is it, after 7 or after 9? What zone are you in? Depends on where
we are. I'll take care of the time. You go ahead and get what you got.
Got the time, I got the money. No. So I got, we had a really nice plans for a house that my wife and I wanted to build or have built. And I was just going back to what Pat was talking about. They're expensive plans. Anyway, we bought them and we hired some builders to start building. But then as we kept going, we got up to the second floor and we thought, well, maybe we should swap the toilet and the shower to opposite ends of where they were. And then we did some other changes. But by the then, my wife and I did all the plumbing and the electrical and all that kind of stuff. And we found out that we didn't have an architect involved in making these decisions as to what would work or not. But when we got into the plumbing stuff, since we swapped the toilet to the other side of the room, we realized that we had to cut through all these 2x6 or 2x8s or whatever they were. We had to cut holes through all that for that 4-inch, the black pipe. Oh my goodness. I mean, we just created a disaster, and it cost a lot of money and a lot of heartache, and it ended up being not what we wanted because we hadn't run it past an architect. So I know Pat dealing with more people than just architects and structural engineers and the other folks, because he's, with commercial type stuff, there's a lot more involved. But anyway, it was a hard lesson to learn. And I know there's spiritual application to this, but anyway.
Yeah, it is. That's why architects do it. They already know what to do beforehand. They plan that stuff out. They know where the pipes go, the electricity goes, and all that stuff. And that's why you pay them the big bucks.
Yeah, it's worth it. I work for an architect. Yeah. And he said, I regret that I didn't know about him before.
Okay. We're out of time. Lord, I just thank you for an awesome time tonight. Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing our hearts together with you in one accord. I know when that happens, the smoke's going to come. Glory to God. We're going to have an outpouring of God's Spirit like we've never seen before. And I thank you for this revival that's coming. Lord, get us ready, because when the revival comes, I know the anointing is coming with it, because these people are going to have to be discipled. And Lord, I thank you for getting us ready for this, not only the revival, but the judgments that are coming as well. And Lord, just pour out your Spirit upon us. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, without measure, so that nothing's left in us but you, Lord. That's our desire. That's our prayer. Because when you're in charge, Lord, wisdom is there. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. Now, I thank you, Lord, for bringing in our loved ones in a mighty way, quick and mighty way, Lord. And I praise you for it. Lord, I thank you for all of the healings that are taking place even as we speak. Thank you for Isaac's complete healing and Pat's complete healing. In Jesus' name. And anybody else we prayed for, in the name of Jesus. Lord, be with us. Give us wisdom and discernment in the days ahead. Thank you for this great awakening, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Good night, y'all. Mm-hmm.